World This Week. This is Steve Young, CBS News, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Britain far and away dominated the week's news, first with the dissolution of a political fixture, then with the disruption of a royal marriage. It is hard to imagine the British scene without Harold Wilson, but soon he will voluntarily relegate himself to relative obscurity. From London, CBS News correspondent John Lawrence reports.
Britain's ship of state is bobbing about in a sea of political uncertainty after this week's surprise announcement that Prime Minister Wilson is stepping down. After 13 years at the helm of the Labour Party, including 8 as Prime Minister, Wilson decided to make way for younger men with fresher ideas. Wilson will retire to the back benches as just another Labour Member of Parliament so that he will have more time to reflect, write, and relax with his family. As the 60-year-old Wilson prepares to become his party's elder statesman, there is some irony in the fact that the two front-runners in the race to succeed him are actually older. James Callaghan, the moderate, easygoing foreign secretary, is almost 64. He's the odds-on favorite. Just behind him, representing the left wing of the Labour Party, is Michael Foot, the 63-year-old Minister of Employment. There are 4 other announced candidates, all from Wilson's cabinet. No one from the general public will go to the polls. The Labour Party's 317 members of Parliament will elect their new leader, who, with the consent of the Queen, will become Prime Minister. He will immediately face Britain's continuing economic crisis, a combination of extreme inflation, record unemployment, the sharply devalued pound sterling, and an ongoing balance of payments deficit. It is a challenge a half dozen men are anxious to meet. John Lawrence, CBS News, London.
Rumors have been rampant for some time, and Kensington Palace made it official this week. After 16 years, the marriage of Princess Margaret to Lord Snowden, the former Anthony Armstrong Jones, is ending in separation. One newspaper said friends of the Queen's sister and her photographer husband assume the separation is just the first stage in an orderly progress toward divorce. Rarely has British royalty taken the roasting given to Princess Margaret by British newspapers today. One spoke of her young lover, identified as 28-year-old Roddy Llewellyn. The princess is 45. Another disapproving newspaper said, perhaps most impetuous of all, Roddy made overnight visits to Margaret's home, Kensington Palace. The trial in San Francisco took 7 weeks. The jury took less than 2 days to find that Patricia Hearst was not acting out of fear for her life, but rather was guilty as charged of being a willing bank robber. Patricia Hearst faces a sentencing range of 35 years, all the way down to probation with no jail at all. There are indications if she testifies against her co-defendants in a second trial still ahead in Los Angeles, she might get the lightest possible sentence. She may be tried with former Symbionese Liberation Army members William and Emily Harris, or separately. That issue is undecided. CBS News correspondent Richard Threlkeld, who covered the trial, looks beyond the day when Patricia Hearst will be a household word.
The other day, somebody was up in the U.S. Attorney's office in San Francisco's federal courthouse and noticed the stacks and stacks of files which comprise the United States of America versus Patricia Hearst. And he asked the U.S. attorney what was going to become of them now. The answer, well, we're going to put them in storage with all the files from all the other criminal cases we've got, going all the way back to the trial of Tokyo Rose. No comparisons intended. It's just a way of reminding ourselves that someday this whole mad saga of Patricia Hearst is only going to be a memory for people over 40. People are going to forget those 7 weeks and 4 days of trial, Miss Hearst's dramatic moments on the witness stand, the whole history of the kidnapping, the bank robbery, the fiery death of most of the SLA in Los Angeles, all traced in careful legal chronology in court. They'll have to look in the history books or perhaps the law books or psychology text to find out who Patricia Hearst was. Perhaps those books will contain some answer to what she and her story are really all about. Because right now, despite all the facts and testimony and opinion, she's still quite a mystery. Richard Threlkeld, CBS News, San Francisco.
This week it was Illinois, and yet another victory, the 5th in the Republican presidential primaries for Gerald Ford. But his Republican challenger, Ronald Reagan, declined to pack it in, as suggested by some Republicans.
Mr. Ford, who issued the invitation on television, is now doing an instant replay now that he's arrived here in North Carolina. He says he didn't say it. Well, I guarantee you, I didn't say it. Well, just to calm them all down and to put their minds at rest. As the American general said at the Battle of the Bulge when the Germans asked him to surrender, nuts.
The president denied he had been so blunt.
I haven't personally suggested, nor have I authorized anybody on my staff to suggest to my opponent that he ought to get out of the race. I said it had some potentiality if the campaign continued, but I have not myself nor authorized anybody on my staff to contact the Reagan people for that purpose.
On the Democratic side, Jimmy Carter maintained his front-running position, and the Democrats got another candidate, Idaho Senator Frank Church. Perhaps because there are so many candidates, even Church may have been confused in making his announcement. That's one possible explanation for the gaffe made by the senator in explaining his late entry into the field.
Now, I'm getting kind of a slow start in this race, and I just suggest to you that the turtle might be our symbol, because you all remember, it doesn't matter how you begin the race, it matters how you end the race, and you all remember the fatal of the turtle and the tortoise.
The government of Thailand has extended the deadline for the withdrawal of the 4,000 American military personnel still stationed on Thai soil. The deadline fell due this week. Thailand says the U.S. can take 4 additional months. After that, Thailand says about 275 American advisors may remain. Following a meeting of the Thai cabinet in Bangkok at which the decision was reached, U.S. Ambassador Charles Whitehouse told CBS News reporter Peter Collins and others, this country will get out.
We don't say we're not wanted, and we will be leaving within the time period specified by the government.
Do you see the negotiations being reopened after the election?
No, I don't think so.
Today, there was trouble as thousands of anti-U.S. student demonstrators staged a march on the U.S. Embassy to back the decision by the Thai government. Pro-American demonstrators tossed a homemade bomb into the crowd. 4 persons were killed, 70 were injured. This week, negotiations between Rhodesia's white minority government, headed by Prime Minister Ian Smith, and black nationalists, headed by Joshua Nkomo, broke down. Prime Minister Smith said he does not foresee black majority rule within his lifetime.
I don't believe in black majority rule ever in Rhodesia. Not in 1,000 years. I repeat, I believe in black and whites working together. If one day it's white, the next day it is black, I believe we will have failed, and I think it will be a disaster for Rhodesia.
Spring arrived on time this week and baseball spring training, but that started about 3 weeks late. And only when Baseball Commissioner Bowie Kuhn ordered players to report for training, even though a deadlock in contract talks between club owners and the players' union continues. Fans vacationing near the Tampa, Florida camp of the Cincinnati Reds had reactions ranging from mild anger to relief.
I've been very disappointed, and it certainly hasn't helped my feeling towards baseball any.
Naturally, I was a little disappointed because they didn't have it when we first got down here. The circumstances behind why the players haven't been out, I don't really understand. I'm just glad to see him out here today. Get my son over here a chance to see some of the players, which is the main reason we came down here.
And finally, a postscript from a public school in East Hartford, Connecticut, where 6th graders were asked to write bicentennial essays on the day I become president. Almost half of the 20 pupils at the Governor William Pittman School included someone trying to shoot them. One boy wrote, "My guys got him and sent him to the gas chamber. I changed the rules." Another, Carmine Esposito, described a $100,000 presidential car containing a coffin. "I looked in it," he wrote, "and it said, 'Reserve for President Esposito.' I didn't want to die young, and so I fainted." And that's The World This Week, produced by Harry Paloshin. This is Steve Young, CBS News.